Hello viewers, this is Exposé, and I just want to say we are more than pleased to be connecting with you, sharing this moment of exposition with you. And we need to see that your views, your sharing, and your commitment to truth is an encouragement to us. Yesterday, you were making an attempt to link our conscience with the blessing. I think you make some points, some biblical points. We went on verses. And so today I just want to see how we'll be able to relate it practically to the Prodigal Father series. And then, funny enough, today I'm seeing the title Stay Awake to Be Blessed. That's a new
Amen.
one.
Amen.
So I
Amen.
want to see today. I don't want to jump ahead of you. I'll just sit back and see the correlation, the conviction, the staying awake to be blessed does.
Yeah.
Who needs that?
Amen. Now, viewers all over the world, if you've been with us on this expose series, you know we've been looking at the elder brother and the younger brother of the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 15. And you see, we begin to investigate the situation of these two brothers and what became of the two of them before the father. And you see, there's one thing we want to make clear. If you notice, the elder son said something to the father. He said, "I have labored for you all this while." And he also said, "I've never broken any of your rules." And the elder son accused the father and told him that, "You've not given me a young goat to celebrate with my friends. But when this younger son of yours, who has wasted your resources with prostitutes, came, you killed him a fatted calf." But you see, when the elder son complained to the father that the father did not give him, the father threw back the responsibility back onto the elder son. The father told him, "All things I have is yours, and you are a son in the house." So what we're trying to say is, you see, as Christians, we need to actually be conscious of the fact that God will never take responsibility for whatever happens to us in our journey on this earth. Now, that's very critical for us to understand. God will not take responsibility. And the reason the Father will not take responsibility on our behalf is because he did all he did in Christ as a finished work. It means God on his side has completed all that needs to be done on our behalf. That's what the Bible says. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It means then, whatever happened to us, how far we go on this planet, God will not take responsibility for that. Now, it means then, if the elder son did not get a young goat, it has to be something's wrong somewhere, because the father said, "All things are yours." And this is what we've been focusing on, trying to investigate how come the elder son wasn't working in a state of receiving all that the father has for him.
I was cheated.
Why was he cheated out of his portion? Why was he cheated out of his inheritance? Because the father told him, "All things are yours." So if you're not getting a young goat, think something is wrong somewhere. And it's in that light that we've been looking at the possibilities. Jesus was conveying a deep message with that parable. And up to yesterday, we got up to the point of consciousness, the conscience. And what we found out yesterday was this elder son had a consciousness. And the consciousness he had was the consciousness of not being worthy. It's a level of consciousness. And you see, one thing I wanted to notice, if you were with us yesterday, we read 1 John chapter 3 from verse 17 to verse 20. And one thing we found out in 1 John 3 from 17 to 20 is, John the apostle said to his readers, he said, "Even if we love in deed and we love in truth," he said, "even if our hearts still condemn us." That sounds a bit strange. How can you love in deed? How can you love in truth? And yet, your heart is still condemning you. John the beloved said, if that ever happens to you, you need to know that God is greater than your heart and God knows all things. It means you cannot. And we did say, you see, it's only people who are matured in the spirit, who have their hearts calibrated, who can actually follow the leading of their heart. But those who are immature with weak consciences, we need to trust what God said above our conscience. So if you have a consciousness of sin, it doesn't matter how much you labor, doesn't matter how much you do, you can never satisfy that conscience. See? It's just like putting something into a bottomless pit. That's why the elder son, he said, "I labored." Can you see that? He said, "I tried so much." He said, "I labored." In fact, we know when the younger son came back home, the elder son was still in the field. What was he trying to do? He was trying to fill up the gap of that consciousness. He was thinking, maybe if I do one more extra thing, if I go to the field one more day, or if I decide not to break any rule, maybe I will, that consciousness of not being worthy will go away. But listen, it never goes away. That's why 1 John 3 says, even if we do everything in deed and in truth, we can still have our hearts condemn us. It means it is not how far or how much you can do to overcome that sin consciousness. There's nothing you can do. It cannot be satiated. It cannot be satisfied. Only Christ is the one that comes to deal with that. You see, we talk about the salvation experience. We talk about the fact that Jesus came to forgive our sins. We talk about the fact that Jesus came and paid the price. We talk about the fact that he redeemed us with the precious blood of the Lamb. All these are truths. They are facts and they're realities. But you see, Hebrews 9:14 has something serious to tell us about what Christ came to do. Now, I'm going to quote that scripture. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ Jesus, which was shed by the eternal Spirit, purge or cleanse your consciences? Can you see that? He said one of the major focus, one of the major reasons why the blood was shed was to purge a conscience that is unsatisfiable. A conscience that you can never satisfy. The elder son said, see, he said, I did all I can do. He said, I labored. I kept on laboring. I kept on laboring. And the elder son said to the father, I decided not to break any rules. Now, that is very serious. You see, he made sure he kept every rule down to the letter. Why? He was trying to fill up the gap of his consciousness to make sure that he can tell himself that I think I've done enough to qualify for the Father's blessings. But you know what?
To quieten that conscience.
He did all he did. He did everything he knew to do, but yet the voice of his conscience was never satisfied. And that is what God would have us to know. And now we know the reason why he was stuck. That's the reason why he never seemed to be able to receive. And we said one thing yesterday. Now, viewers, if you pray a lot, if you believe in the power and the efficacy of prayer, if you believe in that, you need to listen to this. 1 John 3:17 says, as long as the condemnation is there, as long as the consciousness of sin is there, it means that we can never have confidence towards God. And it says it takes confidence towards God to receive. So we know the reason why the elder son was stuck. That's why he could never receive any young goat. He could never receive it because there was a consciousness in his soul and there's nothing you can do. So we need to be aware there's nothing we can do. There is no how much you can be moral. Now, if you believe in so much morality and you say, well, I think if I live right, my conscience will be satisfied that I've done the right thing. Listen, the Bible says the young elder son did everything, yet his conscience was never satisfied. And as long as he wasn't satisfied, he didn't have the confidence to receive. And that's why the father told him. The father said, there's no point complaining. I didn't give you a young goat. Everything I have is yours. So if you're not getting it, it means there's something in you that is blocking it from getting to you. And so if we want answered prayers, if we want to have the confidence that we receive answers to our prayers, it's got nothing to do with God on his side, because God has given us all we need for life and godliness. It means we have to be purged of an evil conscience. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus was shed for that very reason.
So in other words, you're saying for us to be part of this blessing, we stay awake, letting our conscience be purged.
And the Bible says it takes the blood of Jesus to purge that conscience. It means the Bible is saying there's nothing you can do. Even if you see, some people come to the place of prayer and they think, maybe if I do something, maybe if I you know, abhor myself, or if I deny myself, if God can see that I've actually slaved myself out, or if I make sure I never speak one wrong word, all these things are really good. Now, please don't get it mixed up. We're not saying these are not good. We're really saying that the motivation for doing those things could be wrong. If you think you can labor yourself out in the kingdom, even in the ministry, some people think they can
conscience. Yeah, they want to use their own words.
They think if I can sacrifice as a minister, if God knows I'm sacrificing everything, if I'm giving it all up and everything, maybe it's going to make me feel worthy to qualify for God's blessings. Mm-hmm. Now the Bible says you can never beat that game. In fact, 1 John 3 says, even if you do everything in deed and in truth, 1 John 3:17 to 20 says, your heart can still condemn you.
So you have to rely.
So it means you can never rely on how much activity you can actually execute. You can never rely on how much performance you can come up with. The Bible says your heart is very deep. It is hard to satisfy your conscience. And that is why we know the elder son was stuck. It means the blood of Jesus becomes our acceptance. So we can come to the Father and say, Father, there is nothing I can do to meet the standard. There is nothing I can come up with in my performance. I receive the performance of Jesus. And that's why, if you notice, the Bible says we should pray in the name of Jesus. Now, the name of Jesus is not a magic wand to get your answer, to get answers to your prayer. If you notice, there are some instances in the Bible where the apostles prayed and they never said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. They didn't say that. In fact, there was a time Paul spoke to the girl that was possessed with a demon. You know, Paul said, come out of her. He didn't say in the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus means come to the Father on the premise of Jesus Christ. If the Father accepted Christ, he's going to accept you because now you're in Christ. So now we know why the elder son was stuck. So we can summarize and say the elder son was stuck because of his morality, because he thought it could be moral enough to quieten his what?
Conscience.
His conscience. And it never happened. In fact, he gave his own CV. He said, I labored all for my Father, and he said, I never broke any of your rules, yet something is still going wrong. And that is the elder son's situation. Now, having said that, now, if you want to read more about the conscience, you can read Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10. That will clarify this for you. Having said this, that's very, very important. Let's talk about the younger son in Luke 15, 11, 32.
Consciousness too.
Oh, yeah. We've just talked about the consciousness of the elder brother.
Okay.
You see, he had a problem of morality.
Yeah,
the elder son had a problem of morality. He thought he could quieten his conscience by being moral. It never worked. And you see, we need to understand, viewers, if you've been with us on this series over the past few weeks and few months, you see, Jesus, like we said, divided all of humanity into two. And you see, the elder son represents a class of people, religious people, people who think, if I do right, if I act right, I think I will feel worthy. I will have a sense of worthiness. Now, Jesus showed us by this parable, but it never works. And that's one thing. Now, one class of people. And you see, the second class of people are the people that Jesus actually categorized as the younger son. Now, these people, they want to live free. They are the ones that epitomize individualism. They say, well, you know what? It's my life. I can live it the way I want to live it. And that's why the younger son left him and said, Father, give me my inheritance. See, those are the second class of people that Jesus was referring to. Let's look at this younger son. Why did he miss out? Because, you see, the younger son, even though he had a father that loved him unconditionally, he had a father that had everything that he ever needs for life and godliness, but yet the younger son went out and was eating with the pigs. In fact, the Bible says in Luke 15, Jesus said he joined himself to a citizen of the country. That's a type of the devil, the god of this world. And now listen, what could have made the younger son also miss out on the father's what? Blessing and the father's goodness. It's the same problem of the consciousness. Now we're going to show you this.
The consciousness.
Now let's look at this. If you're there, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. This is very important. Now, it means it doesn't matter what type of person you are. It doesn't matter whether you're the elder son or you're the younger son. This consciousness is something for both category. Now, 1 Peter 3, I'm going to read from verse 16. Now, look at what it says. I'll read it from verse 14. 1 Peter 3, verse 14. It says, But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, now, he said, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, look at verse 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that firstly accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. Now, what it's simply saying is, now he says, look at verse 17. It's better if the will of God be that you suffer for well-doing than for what?
Evil doing.
What 1 Peter is simply saying is, anytime you engage in evil doing, it says something happens to your conscience. Now, listen, there are two categories. You see, the younger son actually had a conscience that was defined. The 1 Peter 3 says, anytime you engage in evil doing, anytime you do the wrong thing, anytime you engage yourself in something that is ungodly, it says something happens, your conscience becomes defiled. Your conscience becomes polluted. You see, your conscience goes bad. That's what it says in there. It says, so having a good conscience. That's what he said. He said you have to maintain good works to maintain a good conscience. Yeah. So we found that the younger son, by the time he engaged himself in wasting the father's resources, by the time he went out of the house and began to squander everything that the father had, what happened to him was he violated his own conscience. Yeah, okay. That's why when people say to you and say, well, you know, I'm born again, God loves me unconditionally, I can do anything. Now, these are the reasons why you cannot do anything. Mm-hmm. Even though whatever you do or don't do has no effect on how much God loves you. Mm-hmm. But what happens when you go the wrong way and engage in evil doing, according to 1 Peter 3, he says your conscience can become evil. Your conscience becomes violated. And when your conscience becomes violated, what happens is it makes you insensitive towards God. Now let's say this, let's clarify this. What you do or what you don't do has no effect on God, but what you do or don't do can affect the way you see God. It affects your sensitivity towards God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, it said, exhort one another daily, lest let there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the Lord. He said what happens is it can happen to you once you engage in wrong things and you engage in wrong activities. He said your conscience can become what? Defiled. And that's the reason why, if you notice, when the younger brother was coming back home, he did say about his father. He said, you know what? He said, I think my father, even his own servants, and he had servants and he has people that he actually is so good to. And he said, how come here am I at this state? You see, he even thought within himself, he didn't even qualify. He said, I don't even qualify.
His conscience excluded him.
He said, make me like one of your hired servants. Why would he say so? Why did the younger son think he was unqualified for the father's blessings? He actually thought so because something happened to his conscience. See, how do you know?
Now, the conscience excluded him. Yeah.
The only way you can know your conscience is defined. The only way you can know is when you have a sense of being unqualified to enjoy the father's blessings. That's the way to know. That's what conscience does. A bad conscience disqualifies you from God's goodness. That's it. So when the younger son began to say within himself that I don't think I qualify anymore, I don't think I qualify to be even made a son, just make me one of your hired servants, we knew at that point his conscience was already what? Defined. But you notice, his conscience was defined because of the things he engaged himself in. Can you see that? We have two types of humanity. We have the moral people, the elder son, whose conscience is defined on the basis of morality. Because they think, I think if I do enough good, I would qualify. And they found out, it doesn't matter how much good they do, something within them is still crying that I'm not satisfied. That's the conscience. Mm-hmm. And you see, some people are in that category. They try all they can do. They do all they can do. And they found out that deep down within themselves, something says you don't still qualify. And for those people, the only remedy is for them to accept the person that qualified, that which project is Jesus Christ. Only him qualified. The Father said, this is my beloved son, in him I'm well pleased. So if you are in Christ, it means the Father is pleased with you, not because of you, but because of what God can see, which is Christ in you. Now, that's one category. The second category are those whose conscience are defied and violated because of the activity, the wrong things that they do. That's people who engage in activities, who actually do evil things. That's why 1 Peter 3 says, if you engage in evil things, it says your conscience can be polluted. Now, for those that are the younger sons, and that's why they think they don't qualify for the father's blessings. And for both groups, Jesus has a remedy. The remedy is Christ Jesus. Only him qualifies, and he's the basis for our qualification.
So to sum it up, we say, like, just all the humanity divided into those two classes. That and is everybody, every part of humanity has conscience.
It's a conscience problem for everybody.
And everybody, just as long as you have a conscience, you have this problem.
It's a general problem.
Mm. And we know that it's only the blood of Jesus, like the verse you quoted, that purchases the conscience.
That's the only remedy. That's what the blood
for
does.
The conscience.
That's what
so
the blood
every
does.
Class of humanity must come to this blood.
To the blood, exactly.
To be cleansed. And that's how to stay awake. So that will not be excluded from that blessings, you know, and because the two of them, both their consciences drove them out of the blessings.
That's
you know?
The point. That's
I think
the
they
point.
Were deadened. The one that was deadened by works, by good dead. Works, and the one dead by
bad works. Now, viewers, can you hear that? Somebody's conscience was polluted by good works. That's the elder son. For the younger son, his conscience was polluted by bad works. It means good works, or bad works.
They are both bad.
They are both bad before God. In fact, you know one thing? Hebrews 9:14 actually says that the blood of Jesus purges our conscience from what? From dead works. It means dead works. Dead works. Dead works can be good.
Good or bad. As long as it's dead.
Dead is dead. Doesn't matter if it's good or it's bad. So that's the point. And that's why I think...
So you cannot comfort yourself that say, I'm doing good works.
No.
You cannot comfort yourself too by saying, or feel bad that you're doing bad works. Both works are
dead
unless
works.
They are purged.
Dead
they
works.
Become awoken by the,
dead
the
works.
Blood of Jesus. So until all those works, all that conscience come for the purging, that's how we stay awake.
Amen.
If not, we have a dead conscience. We have dead works, no matter what we are doing.
Amen. And you see, viewers, before we leave off today, if you look at the title of today's today's teaching, it says, stay awake to be blessed. And I believe you understand that we're not saying you can actually make God bless you. Because the Father has already blessed you.
Yeah.
You were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world.
You were already blessed
with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus.
Everything for
in
life.
The heavenly places. Mm-hmm. You're already blessed. But the reason why we say stay awake to be blessed is you need the right consciousness to be able to receive. Now, if you take your time to read Hebrews chapter 10, talking about the same consciousness, he went ahead, I think in verse 14 and verse 15, it says, if your conscience is dealt with, then it says, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies. See, having the boldness. That's why that boldness is missing in many of us. Now, this boldness is not just having a braggado face. It's about you having the definite assurance that God, as you have received what you're asking of the Lord. And I think that's just the main thing there.
Yeah, it will affect everything.
Everything is affected.
The way you come to the Father.
Everything is affected.
You come with Him with confidence.
And, and let's say this. Volumes of prayers and volumes of fasting and volumes of this doesn't solve this problem. It never solves it. It never solves it because that's a remedy. And the Bible says that's what the blood of Jesus has come to do, to cleanse our consciences from dead works.
So at this point, we would like to call it a night. Mm. And so we do hope you will join us next week as we continue with it. We hope we are coming very, very, very close to the end of this Prodigal Father series. Mm. I hope we have found the reasons to see the motivation for righteousness in this family meeting in Luke 15. Mm. So till we see you next week, keep living this truth and keep sharing. So bye.